I've always loved maps. Some people don't. I've just always loved maps. You know, the old-fashioned kind, you know, where you have to open it up like this. You know, and you take this thing out and you lay it out on the table and you can just see and dream about places that you would like to go. Somehow looking on that little screen, you miss something. I mean, you can't see the whole picture. You can't see every place. You can't find those interesting places to go like Lick Fork and Beefhide. That doesn't come up on my phone, but on some maps, when you look close enough, you find places like that. And there's something lost, I'm afraid, today, you know, by those who can only look at a screen. That's all they know when it comes to looking at a map and seemingly don't have a concept of north, south, east, and west, or how far it really is from one point to another. It's just not, really don't know how to get there from here. And that's what a map does. I mean, you can look at a map and you can figure out, well, that's where I want to go, and here's what I have to do to get there. I mean, that's something a map does. And I'm afraid there's a whole generation coming along that's going to miss the skill set that's necessary to fold a map. That's going to be lost. You know, maps, there's just something to those that I hate for us to leave or lose. You know, what about those signs, you know, in the roadside rest areas? You know, the sign, you know, when you go inside, it's usually kind of worn out and yellowed map, and it's got a little arrow on it somewhere, and it points and says, "You are here." You've seen those before? You know, and you see that, and it lets you know, you look at it, and you go like, wow, you're happy because I'm getting pretty close to where I'm going. Unless you're in Kansas or in Nebraska, which that little arrow is never close to where you want to go because it's not close to anything. But there's always a way. Those maps will tell you and it'll show you how you can really go to where you need to go. Maybe this doesn't apply in the mountains near as much, but if you've traveled in flatland at night, someplace where there's not a lot of cities and you're just trying to get to a destination, and finally, far in the distance, you see that glow of the lights, and you know there's a city there. And if that's the city that you're going to, if you've looked at your map, and you know that that's the destination and I'm on the right road to get me there, you're kind of glad. You can see, I can see where we're going. We might be 20 miles away or 30 miles away, but I know we're going to get there. We're on the right road. And there's some relief that comes in that. Someone actually said to me one time, and I forget how the discussion came to this point, but they said, I wish there was a spiritual map. You know, one that says, you are here. Well, actually there is. There really is. That's what God's Word is. It's a map for us. It gives us direction. It shows us the way. It tells us about the destination. It gives us the insight that we need to make sure that we can get on the right track, we can get on the right road, and we can get to where we want to go. It also tells you what happens if you get off the right road and where that will take you. It tells you all about that. But if we were to say that this right here is our road map, where are you at? And where does this tell you are at today? How are you doing? Are you still on track? Are you headed the right way? Are you going to make it to the destination that you really want to get to? This will tell you that. This spiritual map, God's Word, will tell us about and direct us to where we need to go. And it'll take us there by the light. There's always light in the distance. The road map to heaven is brightly lit and it shines because Jesus is there. He is the light. And we can't miss heaven. We can't miss heaven. If we are looking for heaven, if we are looking for an eternal home, and if we are using and following this roadmap, we can't miss heaven. Because it will take us right there. If we follow Jesus, if we walk with Him, if we are in fellowship with Him, He will lead us by His light. And He will get us there. The question may be, are we in the light as He is in the light? Several passages to look at. I want you to follow. We're turning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're talking about a light that comes from God. And we're asking ourselves the question, are we in the light as He is in the light? 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The light is from God, and the Bible gives us clear and distinct language about what the light is and how we can be in the light. If we are to be in the light, we have to be in Christ. We have to be walking with Him. There is light, there is darkness. Great distinction is made. And we cannot be in the light if we are walking in darkness. That's what he's saying. We're turning to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we begin at verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. The light is consistent. It's always there. It can always be found. The light is not going away. The Hebrew writer says that Jesus is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That gives us some encouragement, some hope, direction, that we know that we're not aiming for a moving target in any way. The light is always there. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The apostle writes, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." God is consistent. God's light is always there. And it illuminates the difference between light and dark. We do not have to be in the dark. He calls us into the light. It'll be our decision, our choice, where we will walk, in the dark or in light. But God is calling us to the light. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. "I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which He will show in His own time, He who is blessed, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power." Amen. Jesus is the real light. And because of that, He deserves glory and honor, that He is the King of kings, that He is the true light. And His nature is absolutely pure, without spot. His nature and His light never diminishes. It never dims. Twilight never comes. And there is no darkness in Him. And Jesus came into this world to be the light, to be the guide, to be that light for us that we can always have a way, we can always have direction to walk with Him. He gives light and He is the light to all men. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. An incredible introduction to Christ. Who He is, where He came from, His purpose. John chapter 1, beginning verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. That's the description of Christ. The light who lights the way. And to think that we can have fellowship with Him. That's where we started in the first text. That we can have fellowship with Him. A blessing that truly is beyond comprehension. Something hard for us to even grasp. We have fellowship with one another. That is, with God, if we walk in the light. Here's the caveat to that. That for us to have fellowship with God, we have to walk with Him. Walking implies such things as progress. It implies movement. It implies purpose and steps that take us in the direction to get to our destination. That's what walking implies. And to think about what this means, to walk in the light, as the text says, expresses the very idea of walking toward holiness. Because that's what God represents. In every way, purity, godliness, holiness. And if we are walking toward that light, and if we are walking with the light, that has to become a description of who we are and what we are. And to walk with Jesus is the only way to reach the destiny that we truly want. Our desired destination is heaven. We can look at a map and we can find places that we would enjoy visiting, places that we would like to go to for a period of time. But nothing that can be found on this map, even a place that says home, is temporary at best. It's only for a while. But the spiritual roadmap will take us and direct us to a place that's really our home, a place of eternity. A place where we can be with God forever. There are a lot of roads. You look at the road map and we realize that very often to go from here to there, there are several options. We can always choose different ways to get to where we're going. We talk about the spiritual road map and we talk about heaven. We talk about walking with the Lord. And you know, there's only one way. There is. There's just one way. There's a broad gate that takes us to many different directions. There's a narrow gate that takes us the way of God. And we'll have to choose what way we want to go. If there are many roads to take, but if we get off the road that takes us to heaven, then we're going to miss it. We're going to miss everything. You ever find yourself on that wrong road? You know, when you make the turn, sometimes, you know, as soon as you make the turn, I didn't mean to do that. You know, I did the wrong thing. Or sometimes when you're listening to the little box and the lady says turn, you turn in 0.2 of a mile, in 1,000 feet, you know, and pretty soon then you come to the road you think is the turn and you make the turn and you realize, I wasn't there yet. Because she says, recalculating, you know, and you've messed up. You've done that. We all have. And even sometimes in our spiritual walk, we will do that too. And we have to recalculate. We have to get back to what the map says. We have to get back on track to get where we need to be. And we have to stay on the road that will put us and keep us in fellowship with Him. Walking with Jesus, being on the same road that He wants us to be on is to be in fellowship with Him. And there's no other road that will get us there. There's a lot of imposters. There's a lot of detours that come up. There's a lot of wrong roads that we can turn on, we can get on. But there is not cleansing, back to that spiritual roadmap, there is not cleansing that can happen or take place when we leave the road of light and we start walking in darkness. That fellowship we had with God goes away when we are not following His path, His road. And our ultimate desire, I understand, is to be cleansed of sin, to have fellowship with God. But to do that, we're going to have to stay on His road. When we walk with Him, there is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. With faith, with obedience to Him, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus is always there and will cleanse us from our sins. God made a powerful statement through Isaiah when He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool." Indeed, our sins can be washed away, and it's comforting for us to know and to see that. Another passage, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to start reading at verse 13. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. A comparison of the old covenant, the old law, and what was done to that which happens in Christ. "For if the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of a heifer, the sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." It's true that the blood of bulls and goats were used under the old covenant for atonement, to be offered as sacrifices for sin. But they could not remove sin. Chapter 10, verse 4 says just that, you know, that it was not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus can. That can wash away sins. And it can only happen in Jesus when we are walking with Him. You know, we have to be careful not to think of this road or this path to heaven in a superficial way. That's not the purpose. That's not the intent. To think of the idea of walking along with Christ in such a way that we don't give it seriousness or significance, that it becomes a cliche. But instead, it's biblical language. Instead, it defines and describes for us a very special relationship that is found with Him. It means that we are walking in step with Him. It means that we are in agreement with Him. It means that we have put away the sins that would separate us from Him, and we are walking in the light where His blood continues to cleanse us. That's what it means. That's what fellowship with Him is all about. No longer walking contrary to Him, no longer walking in sin and darkness, but walking in His light. And all that leads to serious questions that we have to ask ourselves. Are we on that road? The road that Jesus would put us on. Are we on that road? Have we found Jesus? Are we on the map even? Are we in the light as He is in the light? You know, it's easy to put words to some of these things, but words are no substitute to obedience, to doing what we should do. To look at the map and to know the right way to go is one thing. To follow the course and to do it is another. We're back to those choices again. Some want to keep on the fringes with regard to their walk with Christ. Yes, I walk with Jesus. I know Jesus. And sometimes they walk in a way to duplicate that, but not always. They just walk sort of close. They want to stay on the border of light and dark. But actually, there is no shadowy in-between place. There's dark and there's light. And we have to choose which side we'll be on. You cannot almost be in the light. As 1 John chapter 1 teaches us, we are in the light or we in darkness. Jesus would say at another time, he would say, he who is not with me is against me. It's a simple statement coming from the book of Luke chapter 11. But it gives a very clear picture that we are with Christ or we are not. Which will it be? There are some who choose to live as close to darkness as possible. That never works out well. I've just never seen a good ending to that, a good result. Look to Romans chapter 13. Romans in chapter 13. Beginning in verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. No, there's no shadowy place to walk in, light or dark, which will it be? We cannot make provisions to walk in the flesh, but instead to walk in Christ. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's hard to misunderstand that text. The choice, that is, that we have to make, to walk in the light or to walk in darkness. And that, in fact, we have to be alive. We have to be awake. Awake from your sleep, he's saying. To learn, to understand, to walk in the light as he is in the light. Now we have to ask ourselves the question again, where are we at? On that spiritual roadmap, we roll it out here in front of us and we start finding our way. Where are we at? Where's the big arrow pointing? Are we in the light as he is in the light? Are we still stuck off in darkness somewhere? The map will get us there. It always shows us the way to heaven. It shows us the way there by the light of the Lord. Some have difficulty knowing where the light ends and where darkness begins. Some struggle to have a good sense of right and wrong, discerning good from evil. Now the map will get us there. It'll help us to see the difference. Look at these texts. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, disqualified for every good work. The text is saying, even what we said a little while ago, there are some who say, oh, I know Jesus. There are some who say, I walk with Him. But judgment is being made by the text. That you can look at how they live, you can look at what they say, you can look at what they do, and we go, no, that's not the light. That's not walking in the Lord. Because the book tells us, the map tells us, it helps us to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is dark and what is light. It discerns that for us. If we follow the map, it will lead us and direct us. And we can come to that point. Here's a scary point, a scary thought. We can come to the point where even our conscience is defiled. And we think we're walking in the light. We argue that we're walking in the light. We believe that we are walking in the light. Because we have denied what the roadmap says. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You see what happens? Deceiving forces are always there trying to confuse us, to defile our thinking and giving us a lost sense of right and wrong, light and darkness. So we keep asking ourselves, where are we at? I mean, on the map, the big arrow, it says, you are here. Where are we at in relation to where we need to be? Where are we at with regard to a relationship with God through His Son? And it's sobering to think that our conscience can be damaged, and it can be damaged in such a way that we can be so drawn away by sin that our conscience doesn't even work right anymore. It doesn't provide us the right bearing. You ever use a compass? I don't mean the kind on your phone. I mean a real compass, the old kind, you know, where if you get it too close to metal, it gets kind of weird, you know, because there's a magnetic force there. And if you have your compass in the wrong spot, if it's too close to metal, it'll point to north, but it ain't really north. It's not giving you the right direction. It's not giving you the right bearings. Because it's been deceived. It's been fooled. And that happens to us sometime. We lose our bearings. We lose our way. That's kind of where that saying comes from. You know, have you lost your bearings? Have you lost your way? That's what happens to us. And we can convince ourselves even that we are in the light when we are not. We can convince ourselves or be convinced by somebody that we are walking in the light when we're still in darkness. Because the standard is still the map that the Lord has given us. That hasn't changed. And our thinking at times can become so defiled that we cannot discern right and wrong. And it's only the light that can help point the way, that can help us discern right from wrong, good from evil, and lead us on the right road. Are we lost in darkness? It can happen. It can happen to any of us. Being lost is not fun. It's like when you drive into that new city and you don't really know your way around, and you get onto the wrong road and you're trying to sort that out. You ever get on a one-way street, but you're actually... you're going one way, but it's the wrong one way. You ever do that? Well, no, me either. But yes, we've probably all done that. Something like, you ever get on a roundabout and then can't figure out which road you were supposed to get off on? I love roundabouts. I think they're great. But I've done that before. I got on and I thought, well, I've got to take like the third road. And then you get on there and you lose track, you lose count, and now you don't know which one. You ever do that? I mean, that can happen. We can get lost in the darkness. And we have to look at the map to get us back to where we need to be. You ever been lost in the dark? I don't mean spiritual darkness. I just mean in the dark. You ever been lost? in the dark. One time I'd spent an afternoon out in the field. I was doing some bush hogging in the field, and I wanted to get it done, and I rode that tractor until it was about dark, and I thought I better quit and park the tractor in the barn, and had to walk through the woods to get to the house. And it was almost dark until I got into the woods, and then it became really dark. And everything looked different then. And it may be even a little scary for some, and maybe I was even a little scared. And I tried to hurry my way along this path through the woods, but it got so dark that I got confused to where I was running in between the trees, and I couldn't see where I was going. And for that fleeting moment there, until you kind of realize, you know, we're not in the Sahara here, it's not that far to the house, I can make it home. There's that fleeting moment where things seem a little scary and dark and not fun. You've been lost in the dark. Spiritually, we can find our way into that darkness too. And it can be scary there. Especially if we don't want to be there. If we don't intend to be there. Darkness can be scary. It's like blindness. And we stumble and we trip along the way and we bump into things. That's what it's like when we lose our way with the Lord. It can be just as scary. And we can be just as lost. Fortunately, Sandra had the porch light on. And sooner or later, I could see the light at the house. I found my way out of the woods. And we can find our way out of the darkness of sin. Because somewhere there in the far distance, perhaps, there's a light we can see. And it will draw us, and it will lead us, it will guide us to where we need to be. We don't have to stay in the darkness. Because the Lord is still calling us. He's still drawing us in His way. And He calls out to all who will hear Him. And He reaches out and He will grasp our hand and He will take us. We close with Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Beginning at verse 11, it's Jesus who is speaking. For the Son of Man has come to save the lost. And what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Every soul is important. The Lord is concerned about every soul that is wandering and trying to find its way to safety. He's the great shepherd, and He's looking for all who would be His sheep, even the one that is wandering, and He's looking for you and me. Are we walking with Him? Are we in the light as He is? Do we have fellowship with Him? That's where we started, remember? Do we have fellowship with Him? Only if we are walking in the light as He is in the light, and He is still reaching out for us. Will we reach back? Will we choose to be children of God? Will we choose to have a relationship with the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ? The cleansing that comes in baptism, our sins washed away. And even as a Christian, if we lose our way and we get on that path that is so dark, there's still a light. We just have to look for it. There is still a light, and He will draw us back if we will. You need to come to Him.
Don't delay. Would you come as we stand and sing?